Cheerscast is a proud part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
God, there's no way I could explain it if I got caught.
How are you going to get caught?
Because people always get caught in this situation. What if Evan comes back unexpectedly?
Look, he's in Europe, okay? You don't come back unexpectedly from Europe. You come back unexpectedly from the movies or shopping. But you don't come back unexpectedly.
What? What?
Oh, my God, it's Mr. Drake. He's back unexpectedly from Europe.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and here to paint my house this episode is the husband and wife duo behind the Married Watching Cartoons podcast. Please welcome back friends of the show, Jonathan and Maggie Schaefer-Hames. Welcome back, both of you. How are you?
Yay. Hello, Ryan.
Thanks for having us back, Ryan. We're doing very well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming back. Love talking to you guys.
Yeah. We're the best.
Yeah, the last time we talked, folks, if you haven't heard it yet, check out their podcast. I think it was the July 4th episode that dropped back then. I was lucky enough to guest on their show. We're talking about the amazing, amazing children's animated program Bluey that we just cannot praise enough. And that was a really, really fun discussion. So
We had a great time. It's a good episode.
It is. Yeah, it was a fun discussion. So, and I'll let you guys plug your podcast again later on this episode. But getting back to Cheers, as I mentioned to you before we started, this episode is definitely one of the most requested episodes. A lot of guests wanted to be on this one, but you guys called it like 5 years ago. So that's lucky you were on it from jump. You guys are just like really, really casting into the future. Like,
so. In your face, everybody else.
We did the same thing with Shag, too. Yeah. We picked, when we started podcasting, we picked the Mr. Nebula issue, and years later is when it actually came around. So we play the long game in our podcasting.
Yeah. Anyway, the episode that we are talking about is the Season 6, Episode 18, Let Sleeping Drakes Lie. This one written by David Lloyd, directed by James Burrows, and the original air date was Thursday, February 18th, 1988. Norm is painting Evan Drake's house while the CEO is away on business. To thank Rebecca for recommending him for the job, Norm invites her over to snoop around her crush's lavish estate, and more importantly, his bedroom. At that critical moment, however, Evan comes back early from his trip, and Rebecca has to hide in the closet. After going back to Cheers, the gang shames him into going back to rescue Rebecca, but every one of Norm's efforts to sneak her out is thwarted by the desperately exhausted but easily awoken Evan and his ever-watchful butler Grayson. Finally, Norm takes Frasier's advice and concocts the most ridiculous lie he can think of to get the oh-so-tired Evan Drake and his manservant out long enough for Rebecca to climb out the window. Norm must fulfill his lifelong dream of carrying a rich man across the lawn in his pajamas. Meanwhile, Sam begins to flirt with one of Frasier's patients by pretending he is a dancer, since earlier that day, Frasier said he treated a beautiful woman who was sexually attracted to dancers. Only too late, however, does Sam discover that Frasier treated two women that morning, and the one Sam has been flirting with is a pyromaniac. All righty. What did you guys think about this episode that you requested oh so long ago?
This is one of my favorite episodes of Cheers, and I'm one of those people who's fairly critical of the show.
You have been in the past, yes. Yes. Every time I bring you on the show, I'm like, you better behave. Don't make me regret this.
No. Is one of my favorite episodes of the entire series. You know, I think the one sort of gripe that I have is the fact that Sam tries to get a date with a woman based on information he should not have been given in the first place by Frasier, world's worst psychiatrist.
Absolutely.
but the payoff, the comeuppance there is perfectly satisfying. Because, and I didn't notice this actually until the second time we watched the episode earlier today, that when he's trying to remember what a pyromaniac is, you can hear sirens in the background.
That is a cue, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we might as well start with the B plot, you know, because because that one, you know, it's fairly pedestrian as far as B plots go. But I mean, Ted Danson pulls it off so well. But so the other characters do a lot of the heavy lifting too, and it's only because Sam's womanizing act has gotten so long in the tooth by this point that even the other characters who only are hero worship him in part because of this are sick of it.
Yeah, including Carla and Cliff.
And Cliff, they're like, really, Sam?
His biggest fans, yeah.
This is what you've stooped to? But it's Sam in the leggings.
That's what does
the physical comedy in this one is top notch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is, yeah. But yeah, as you said, like getting with it, it starts right after the teaser. Frasier is at the bar talking about this fascinating session he had with a patient, and the group can't care less. They're just they're not paying attention. Yep. And he even says, "No, really, it was." And they're like, "Yeah, whatever, whatever." And he says he was treating this beautiful young woman, and then you know Sam his ears perk up and everything, and yeah. She's sexually aroused by it. He's like, and then he notices they're all interested. They're piqued, and he's like, "Well, I shouldn't reveal anymore. I can't talk about it here." So he goes to the end of the bar, and they all follow him to the other. Like, well, can you talk about it here? And he's like, "Well, I suppose it won't violate any doctor-patient confidentiality if I don't use any names." Which
the object is not to get as close as you can to the line.
Yeah. Right. That was crossing it. Yeah. You can give the line a wide berth.
Yeah.
So especially if apparently if your two patients you're treating are sexually aroused by dancers and pyromaniac, you know, maybe you should, you know, keep that under the hood a little bit.
Right. And then so he's well, okay, so if he's going to tell them the details, he'll need a beer. So he's like, "Give me a beer, Woody." And Woody's like, "I thought you weren't going to use any names." So he tells them that this patient is turned on by men who dance. Anyone in tight pants or tap shoes, and like she just flies into this, you know, sexual frenzy. And he's like, "Well, I gotta go." And they're like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "Oh, my ballet class." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "As my old professor used to say, if you can't laugh at your patients, what fun are they?"
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly the attitude a psychiatrist should have towards his patient.
Right. So later on, after we delve into the A plot, this woman Jennifer comes in, who is played by Cess Verrill. And I checked her; she has a couple of dozen one-off TV appearances on pretty good shows, and a few movie credits, but nothing really major or lasting that I could find. But
yeah, she's kind of in that girl, on almost every 80s show.
Mm-hmm. And she comes in, she's looking for Frasier, and she mentions that she had a session with him earlier that day, and she left a package at his office, and Woody's like, "I don't know what to tell you, but then again, I don't know what to tell most people." So
also, who brings a package? Who brings their mail to their psych appointment?
That's just a package. I mean, when we do find out what she is, maybe it's really good that she goes back for it.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. But anyway, Sam keyed into her mentioning that she was Frasier's patient, and he assumes that she's the woman who's attracted to dancers, and he starts to gracefully, perhaps, he's gracefully bussing the table, doing a lot of like kicking his legs out and doing all this ridiculous stuff and putting the glasses back on the bar, and then puts his leg up on the high bar to stretch while he's looking. Gotta dance.
That worked at me.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you get, because that's what they call it—the bar.
Yeah, of course.
Ballet dancers, right. It's funny on a couple of levels, and it's also just hilarious that Sam is doing it.
And she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. That's just something us hoofers do."
Yes, us hoofers. Oh, you're a dancer.
Yeah. And he's like, "I'm Sam, but you can call me Bojangles." Nice. Kind of out of there, but yeah. And then after, like, they arrange a date, the other guy, like, the others are at the side of the bar, like, I'm not sure I approve of this. Or, yeah, Woody's the one. He's like, "I don't think what Sam is doing is right. You know, call me old-fashioned." And they're like, "No, they're what he's doing is definitely not right. This is you know, really, like, past the line." But Woody, of course, is thinking, he's like, standing around tending bar is the worst thing a dancer should do.
Right.
for his calves, yeah.
Woody doesn't have much to do with this episode, but every line he has is just a classic Woody.
Yeah, he gets good lines, but that's all he's here to do today. Mm.
But that's when Carla says, speaking of calves, was it painful when the cow kicked you in the head?
Yeah, exactly.
To which he responds,
yeah, you get used to it.
You get used to it after a while. Because like, it had to be like World Witch Time, that type of joke. And then, yeah, later on in the episode, just sticking with this, like, Jennifer, like, Carla and Cliff, you're right, they're like, you're acting kind of desperate. He's like, I'm not desperate, this is a sure thing. And then Jennifer comes to pick him up, and he goes over the bar, and yes, he is wearing, like, tights and, like, leg warmers.
Yes, and jazz shoes.
Yes, yeah. he goes up the, like, I'll just ask, you know, Maggie, as a woman, what did you think of Sam in that look?
He has the butt for it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, he filled out those tights really nicely. I was really impressed with his flexibility. He got his leg up on that bar like it was nothing.
He did.
You know, and I mean, he's an actor. He's not actually a ball player. He's not actually a dancer. Like, he's just dude. But, no, and then, like, him kind of West Side Storying it up the stairs.
that was so good with the snaps and everything. And then, yeah, the finale of that one is he comes back ostensibly to get some ice. But he's like, I left Jennifer at my apartment. He's like, I've been dancing up a storm, and I'm not getting anywhere with her. So he talks to Frazier. He's like, the beautiful patient you treated, he's like, you didn't by any chance cure her, did you?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I treated two beautiful patients. He's like, but, and then Frazier, of course, wonderfully, he's like, you don't just cure someone overnight. Most patients require dozens of costly sessions to make minimal progress. God, I love his profession.
He goes back to that a little bit early on in Frasier too, where he and Niles are talking about how long it takes and how long it takes for people to ever get cured, and that they have the best. I think they're talking about lawyers or something, and how they have the best insurance and they never get better.
when he's cynical and just like so like self-deprecating about his profession, I love it. He has like some of those best lines and everything.
Yeah.
So Sam is on the way out when he realizes that Frazier said he treated two women. He's like, what was the other one for? It's like pyromania. And Maggie, yeah, as you call it, like, it takes Sam a minute to realize what that means. And then we hear the sound of sirens as he rushes out, but goes back to get the pitcher of ice.
Oh, the pitcher of ice, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to need this.
I was going to say Sam Malone. Ted Danson does such a good job in that scene of, like, obviously, he's trying to pyromania. What, like, which one is that one again? And then, oh, it was a very well done bit. That was really funny.
I was just envisioning, you know, he's tap dancing like an idiot in front of her, and she's just slowly going literally mad.
Right,
and then it's
like,
okay, fine, I'm just going to burn his house down.
I was
going
to say, she'd burn his apartment down out of boredom, like if nothing else.
So, getting into the main plot of it, which is like Norm comes in from the beginning in his painter outfit and his whites, and Woody's like, "Can I get you a draft, Mr. Peterson?" He's like, "It's a little early in the morning, Woody." He's like, "For a beer?" It's like, "No, for stupid questions."
but that does raise the question. There's like 50 people in the bar, and it's got to be like 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're all drinking. Right. I mean, I know Boston is known for its
and Cliff's there dressed up in his postman's whatever. What's he doing there at 10 o'clock in the morning drinking beer? Like, he's got to deliver mail, does he not?
Much like Frasier is not exactly the poster child for psychiatry.
Yeah, the hell is Frasier doing there? Like, why are these people at the bar?
He already had two patients. He can take a break.
Oh, that's true.
And what time is it?
Yeah, if he has, like, his first appointment, maybe he's at 8, and then his second appointment we think would be about 9, then I would assume that it probably is about, like, 10:30 in the morning. Yeah. This is crazy to me.
I love
Johnson.
I love Rebecca comes out and she's like, "Can you believe that corporate has asked me for a breakdown of projected earnings for the next 6 months?" And Woody actually has to like really stop and think about it. He's like,
"Yeah,
yes."
He's like,
"I guess that doesn't seem so far fetched."
It's a great moment. It's a great Woody moment. He doesn't have a lot to do. You're right, but the moments that he has are really very good in this episode.
Yeah, so we find out that Norm is painting Evan Drake's house based on Rebecca's recommendation, and he's like, "I must say, that's a really cute photo of you next to the nightstand." And she's like, "What?" And he's like, "I'm just kidding," which is oh so bad. But But Norm says that he's there alone and he can get Rebecca into the house if she wants to snoop around. And Rebecca, of course, rejects that idea, but Carla chips away at her. She's like, you're dying to see inside his drawers. So.
Yes.
And
oh, wait, he won't be there.
And I have to say, like, getting to the sort of setup of this episode, one of the things I liked is earlier in this season, at the beginning of the season, there was an episode when Norm is painting Rebecca's office. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up going back to paint her apartment. And what me and my guest, what we talked about a lot in that episode was Norm and Rebecca had this great chemistry.
Yes.
In the office scene. And that was like the first half of that episode was really strong. And then it felt like Sam deliberately hijacked the episode because that was back at the beginning of the season when he's just trying to sleep with Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like stepped in and really just whooshed Norm out of there. But and that kind of felt like he's like, I was having a lot of fun just watching Norm and Rebecca. So it kind of feels like this is almost a correction. Like maybe they noticed that. It's like, we really should get back to that and give that the episode it deserves because these two are just really funny together.
I agree.
We remarked on that at the time, mm-hmm. Those very things. And this kind of continuations, I like the show, you know, gets to be the Norm Rebecca show mm-hmm. from time to time. I mean, it's later on when he gets into in interior design.
Mm-hmm. His own business, but yeah.
Well, I mean, they've been through a lot together after this. So the two of them, you know, in my headcanon, he probably got a bit of his bar tab forbidden or forgiven at this point.
Yeah, they're like war buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So later on they're at the house and everything like that, and she's just like looking around, she's like, oh, I don't belong here, and she's like, I really shouldn't be here, but as she's taking steps and looking around even more, she sits down, she's like, I feel queasy, like I don't belong here, like I'm doing something wrong. Norm's like, I know, that's how I feel in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's conflicted, she knows what she's doing is wrong, but she can't help sitting on the bed and then laying down on the bed and then stretching out and rolling around on the bed.
It's really funny too that, you know, I didn't catch this until actually this time watching it, because I always regarded it as Rebecca and Norm getting stuck in a situation, you know, through no real fault of their own, you know, that especially Norm was, you know, a trooper through it. But you realize he was the one who suggests this in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
If she hadn't called him up on his, like, suggestion, this wouldn't have turned into a Three's Company episode.
Yeah, right. 1 hour?
Is that right?
Yeah, and you really got to think, like, this sort of betrayal of your client's trust, it's like, this probably is why Norm loses jobs pretty often. Like, his work ethic notwithstanding, it's like, yeah, like, this is no, you should not be doing this under any circumstance. Right. Just inviting other people into people's house. Yeah, so.
Well, I think you and I have, I don't know, we've mused about in the past whether or not Norm was a good or accountant. Oh, excuse me, let me try that. We have mused in the past about whether or not Norm is a good accountant or not. If he has this level of opinion about his clients, then probably not in that case.
I think maybe, like, the work is maybe easy to him and he's good at it, but just the sense of professionalism and like the morality, just like, yeah, there's something there. There's something. No, he's not.
Yeah. An ethical gray area.
And then Rebecca like opens his closets to see his clothes, and like there's a noise, and she's like, oh, she spooks herself, and she's afraid of getting caught. And he's like, who's gonna catch you? And she's like, I could never explain myself if I was here. Like, what if he comes back unexpectedly? And Norm's like, he's in Europe. You don't come back unexpectedly from Europe. You come back unexpectedly from the movies or shopping. And you don't come. And then we hear the door slam, and he looks out the window, and she's like, what? And he's like, oh my God, it's Mr. Drake. He's back unexpectedly from Europe.
That's one of my other favorite lines of the show too.
David Lloyd dialogue is mm-hmm. amazing.
It's perfect because, like, this is it makes you forgive, like, the implausibility of this situation. Like, oh yeah, she comes over and he happens to come back at that moment in time. No, yeah, you hang a lampshade on it, you make it, like, the spotlight is like, mm-hmm. nobody would, like, it would be ridiculous for him to come back unexpectedly. Oh, he did! What bad luck! And it's just like, yeah, of course.
David Lloyd has written some of the funniest episodes in sitcom history and some of the smartest TV shows. I mean, he has some of the better Frasier episodes.
He did,
one of my favorite ones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The ham radio one.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good
episode. It was great. I won an Emmy for Chuckles Bites the Dust on Mary Tyler Moore, which some people regard as the funniest TV show that, or episode that's ever been on.
Nice. They rush into the closet to hide, then Norm comes out, obviously. He's like, he doesn't have to hide. And Evan says that he's tired. They had this marathon session. He hasn't slept in 3 days. And Norm's like, oh, man, you haven't slept? Let me take you out for coffee.
Sir, let me take you out for a cup of coffee.
But Evan just wants to crash, and his butler, Grayson, goes to the closet to get his pajamas. And Norm is like, no, no, no. And he's like, oh, I thought you meant my pajamas. He's like, no, they wouldn't fit you, Mr. Drake. So Grayson closes the closet door and it creaks very loudly, which is a plot point, because Norm was supposed to fix that creak, because every time the door opens, it's very loud. And Evan wants to sleep, and he doesn't want Norm in there making noise, because he's a very light sleeper, and Norm has to repeat that by shouting it so that Rebecca knows here. And then Norm leaves, and he goes back to the bar, and he's explaining the situation to the guys, and it's so perfect, because one by one, just first Cliff, then Woody, and then Carla, they all have the same line. It's like, so you just left her in the closet?
Yes.
And Norm tries to explain.
Even Carla.
He tries. Yeah, exactly.
Even Carla wouldn't go that far, apparently. She has a line.
Or at least she thinks better of Norm. Like, maybe she would abandon him, but she's like, Norm, seriously. So they all just, that same line is like, you just left her there in the closet? He's like, you don't understand, but like, nothing that
he's like at least a third of the way into a beer by this point, so he's done it. I never knew anybody. No,
yeah. He says, he's like, it's been an hour. She should have been back by now. It's like,
what? It's been an hour. She's been in a closet for hours.
Yeah. And Sam's like, clearly not, so you have to go get her out of there. And they're like, Norm's, or Cliff is like, think of it as an adventure. You're going to rescue the damsel in distress. And Norm's like, fine. He's like, Cliff, if I'm not back, go ahead and finish my beer. And Cliff, he's like, holding it already. He's like, this is your beer. So Norm goes back to Evan's room to wake him up, and he says that the roof could cave in on him, and Evan is trying to sleep, and he tells him to get lost. He's like, what is wrong with him? And Norm's like, the paint fumes. It's like, they make me giddy. They could lead to brain damage. And I was like, evidently, yeah. He wants Evan to sleep somewhere else to avoid the paint, and Evan kind of like shoos him away, but Norm finds the pretext to go into the closet to close some of the paint cans, and he talks to Rebecca, and she goes, if he finds me here, he's going to fire me, hate me, and he's never ever going to want to be my boyfriend.
Be my boyfriend.
Yeah. That's something that I gotta give Kirstie Alley credit for. Her meltdowns as Rebecca are great.
Oh my god.
She's so good at just immediately breaks into tears.
I commented, on a previous episode, I commented the way she is able to, while apparently like sobbing and losing her composure completely, she can still enunciate every word so that you don't miss the dialogue. It doesn't turn into like just blubbering gibberish, and it's good.
I mean, can we talk about Kirstie here, or is there time later?
Yes.
No. It's just, I mean, because again, Kirstie Alley in this one, you know, even though she's kind of, you know, very passive because of the plot, she still demonstrates. You want to hear my hot take? That Kirstie Alley is, or Rebecca Howe is the most important character on Cheers.
Really?
Yes.
All Rebecca right. Go, getting. Go.
Yes, this is my hot topic. It's like she. I have to get to my notes because my hot take requires backup points.
That take might be as hot as the Cajun style chips that Norm brings her.
which is part of it too, where she gets to do this Lucille Ball or Dick Van Dyke's bit of physical comedy.
She crawls into like the dry cleaning bag or something like that in order to eat them quietly.
Yeah, so that it makes less noise somehow. Yes.
You know, and it's, you know, it, regardless of how she's used, I still say her character being on the show is the most important thing that happens to the show. My favorite, they kind of have trouble figuring out how to use her, and at times they don't use her very well. And not personally, I think she's best used when she is that just uber competent, you know, very, you know, strong business lady of the 90s who is 1 second away from either her own hubris or random chance is going to cause her to completely deflate. which humanizes her.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is just the fact she's the final piece in this puzzle they didn't even know they were building, you know, with Woody getting to replace Coach improbably and Frasier, you know, becoming more of a character, but then Diane leaving and having Rebecca come over to not only be able to be slotted in, but it pulled off something that I don't think the only two shows you can say that managed to pull off anything of this level was maybe MASH. But even MASH with the major cast changes didn't really change. It still remained essentially the same show.
Yeah.
But the Mary Tyler Moore show faced something that was equally as amazing that they were able to get past, is that you think it was bad to lose Shelley Long. Imagine losing Valerie Harper and Cloris Leachman in one season. And Valerie, you know, as Rhoda, was so integral to that show. People would refer to it colloquially as Mary and Rhoda. Mm-hmm. But with the two of them leaving, it allowed everybody else, other characters, to be elevated. And then, you know, it didn't help that hurt that they added Betty White. But it turned it into, from the Mary Tyler Moore show to this ensemble comedy with that was able to be much more and probably better than it the best that it had, that it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases. And that's what, regardless of how, you know, she is used or where she goes, once she's there and once they get it solidified, Cheers becomes the best that Cheers is, in my opinion. I love stuff that came before. I love Shelley Long. I love episodes that came before. But Cheers is at its strongest in this point going forward.
I don't disagree with that, just because, I mean, my favorite Cheers are in a few later seasons. So, yeah, I think that's true. I wouldn't have thought of that, just because, like, in general, I think Diane was the better character. But the fact that I mean, they don't miss a step. Like when Rebecca comes in, I mean it. They subtly sort of change from a romantic comedy to this workplace ensemble comedy, and like you get more things. But I mean, just like, yeah, I mean, like, Rebecca has been knocking it out of the park since the beginning of the season. I mean, she's all over the place, and she's great. Like, we've been loving her in this show. And yeah, it shows that it demonstrates that the fundamental foundation of this show was already so strong that they could, you know, they could lose one of the lead characters and replace them, and then it's still so good. It doesn't get any worse. So, or doesn't get worse, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It suffers nothing. But. Yeah, well, interesting. So, I like that. Norm goes back after leaving her there to eat the chips in the closet, and he's like, so you just left her there in the closet? And what does he say? Like, they get him to go back again, and he's like, I should never have become a painter, I should have listened to my mother and become a matador.
Yes,
right. And Frasier, tries, tells him the thing about it's easier to be believe a bigger lie.
Yeah, the greater the lie, the more people will believe it, yeah.
You know, and it's not like Norm's been, like, you know, shying away from the unrealistic claims here. He's being a trooper.
He really has done everything he can, to try to get her out of that stinking closet.
Right. And so he goes back and he's like, tomorrow I'll be shopping for Toreador pants. And he passes Sam along the way. He's like, I gotta go get her. And he's like, you still left her there in the closet? And he actually like lunges for Sam at one point. So back at the house, Rebecca has slowly managed to get out of the closet, like just creeping along. But then she sees her purse that she left on the floor next to the bed. And when she tries to get it, she knocks over this briefcase, which stirs Evan to kind of like rouse him up a little bit. So she has to hide underneath the bed. And at this point, like Norm storms in with Grayson shouting in. He's talking about killer bees from Mexico. And he needs to evacuate the house.
You're like a buzzsaw, sir.
And he's and like he's a. Evan threatens to have Grayson shoot him at this point. He's just like,
yeah. I love that bit actually where he's like, I'm going to die if I don't sleep and I'm taking you.
If you don't go, I'm going to have Grayson use his gun.
Yeah. And Grayson's like, yes, sir. But at this point, Norm sees that the closet is empty and thinks everything is fine. So, oh, yeah, never mind. Those bees are fine. And he's just, like, ready to get out of there as quickly as he came in when Rebecca grabs him by the ankle and he kind of shouts an alarm. He's like, the bees are back.
The bees, they're back.
So at this point, like, Norm is like, okay. He's like, I have this confession. He's like, I was very poor. He's like, man, my fantasy has always been to do something symbolic, like carry a rich man across the lawn in his pajamas. And
I love how
the shared how reactions even, of Evan and Rebecca.
Rebecca even, you know, stopped, you know, chimes in and wants to hear this.
Well, and then she hears what he has to say, and she beats her head against the floor.
Yeah. Just looks for, but, like, Evan, like, almost bolts out of bed. Like, he, like, sits up. He's like, what did you hear? And then he starts grabbing Norman, like, feeling around his head. He's like, I don't have a fever, sir. He's like, I'm feeling for the lobotomy scar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you have to give me your solemn oath as a crazy person.
Yes. He's like, my pledge, my vow. I will never bother you.
My oath.
Just let me take care of you. So he picks up him. He's like, I don't mean to flatter you, sir, but you're very firm for your age. As he's carrying him out of there. So they go for their
George
walk.
George Went picked that guy up, like, pretty easily, too.
He didn't. And he comes back with Evan a few minutes later, and he, like, notices, like, when Evan is getting back in the bed, he's like, pulled the sheets back. He's like, wait a second, who made the bed? And of course Grayson did, because Grayson stayed behind the entire time, so Rebecca is still trapped under there. And Norm is like, oh gosh, now we really have to come clean and tell the truth, but Rebecca bites his ankle. And he's
yeah.
So a second later, Norm comes back with a ladder through the window to get to wake up Evan. And at this point, like, Evan, like, Tom Skerritt's performance now, this is another thing that I've commented through the Tom Skerritt, I love him as this character, but so far as we have seen him in a couple of performances so far, he is wonderfully funny, but he's funny as the straight man who just, like is reacting and like with often with like silence or sort of stunned disbelief. He's not really like the punchline type of comic performer, but in this episode, like what he does with his escalation of just exhaustion and nervousness, like at this point when Norm comes through the window, he's like, you're here to hurt me, aren't you? He's like, this is a nightmare.
You lied to me.
He's like, you lied to me. And Norm is picking him up. He's like, I need the witnesses to see me because my friends didn't believe me that I carried you out. So now they're there. And he's like, will there be any more bees?
Be any more bees? I love that line so much. He sounds so tired and just like hallucinating at this point.
Evan Drake often seems like a tourist from a different TV show. You know, like he seems very, you know, he's very much in disbelief of all that goes on around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't stay long enough to regress to the mean of Cheers. He skips town.
And we close, it shifts to this final shot, an exterior shot of the house where the gang is gathered around with the butler there, everything, as Norm is carrying Tom Skerritt down, like, on in his arms across the grass as Rebecca is climbing down the ladder to the ground. And once they pass the group, Cliffy kind of pulls Grayson aside to, like, follow Norm and the boss and everything, and he kind of distracts him while the rest of the gang flock over to the ladder to get Rebecca, and once she's down, they all bolt, and it's this wonderful long shot, and I love it because we see, in this case, the gang literally rallying around Rebecca to help her escape, and it's a lovely visual that establishes kind of the premise of what you were saying, John, before, is that, like, we don't need to worry about the specter of Diane and how great things were in previous seasons. Rebecca is fully enmeshed in this ensemble, that they're all there to protect her and rally around her in this last shot. I just think it's a wonderfully done little moment at the end there.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's such a wonderfully blocked scene.
Yeah.
The entirety of it, just how they do it, how Cliff goes, is there to distract Grayson.
Grayson, yeah, he steps right into her, just talking at him.
And just Kirstie Alley walking, you know, coming down the ladder in the background.
With Sam, Woody, and Carla, and Frasier, and, like, once she's down on the ground, they all just sprint out of there.
Yeah, yes, it's great. It's a wonderful episode. It's very funny.
It is. It's a little known fact, George Wendt actually received an Emmy nomination for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy for this episode. Unfortunately, he lost to John Larroquette from Night Court, but John Larroquette won pretty much every year for Night Court.
Yeah.
For Norm's tab, with the times that he went back, he had 3 beers, including the one that Cliff probably finished for him, which brings him up to 556 for the series. So, Maggie, who was your employee of the week?
It would have to be Mr. Drake.
Yeah.
He was a trooper throughout this whole thing, and he put up with it as well as any person can be expected to, I think. And really, that line where Norm's carrying him out of the room and he's like, "Will there be any more bees?" is just my favorite. It's so funny to me. So, yeah, he's definitely Mr. Drake.
Yeah.
He was my runner-up. John, what did you think?
Was close to giving it to Norm, but I had to also give it to Drake, just because he was the glue that held that whole scene together. If he didn't pull off the exasperated exhaustion and confusion to the degree he did, that scene falls apart, and it does.
Yeah, it was very good. It was close. I did end up giving it to Norm. It was Norm's episode, and Norm needed one of these. Evan was just so funny, and in a role that was much more overtly comical and silly for him this season. So, in terms of the home run and the best moments, there were so many in this one. I just ended up having to give to Norm's big lie, which if I just one darn time I could do something like carry a rich man across the lawn in his pajamas, and the reactions from both, like, with Tom Skerritt, like, bolting up, like, "What did you say?" and Rebecca just shaking her head and, like, dismissing it. Forgot another little moment that I loved, a little touch. When Norm comes up with the ladder, Rebecca is actually painting the underside of the
ladder. Oh,
that's right. I was going to mention that, too. Yeah, I had seen that the second time we watched it today.
She's painting the bed, yeah.
So go off of what Maggie was just saying, too. There's so many little moments, too, just with the blocking, as we talked about. Some of the camera work of just there's a camera being shot from below and with, like, what Chekhov's purse. Because before she sits down on the bed, she very, you know, they drop the purse and make a big point of showing it. And the purse becomes, like, the thing that stops her from almost saving herself.
Right.
But the little bits of comedy where she's laying down and Evan's arm falls down and the painting on the top and all of these things. But the probably in my top 5, at least for biggest lap of the series, is Norm's. Just one darn time. If I could do something symbolic, like And it's that little shrug he does right before he says it. He's like, ah, in for a penny, in for a pound. Oh, man.
I think one of my favorites that I'd have to single out is just the recurring line. So you just left her in the closet?
Yes, I had that in my list too as a runner-up, just that line.
I mean, the first time he comes back to the bar and everybody says it, you kind of assume that that's the end of it. But when he comes back, they're still using that same line. And it's hilarious every time. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Definitely one of the strongest episodes of the season, of the whole series. So much fun. Thanks, both of you guys, for helping me cover this one. Where else can our listeners hear you if they want to hear more about you in the podcastosphere?
Thanks so much for letting us be on this one. This is one of our favorites. It was great to revisit it. We are MWC Podcast. We do a bunch of nerdy things that we try to shoehorn the initials MW and C into, married with comics, married watching cartoons, various other things. We'll probably have to come up with a Mephisto with something because it's almost Halloween as the recording of this. And that means increasingly more complicated crossovers. So stay tuned for that. I'm not on Twitter because I got a new phone at one point and I kind of physically was unable to download an app called X. So we're getting an Instagram and possibly a Threads thing set up. You can find us on Facebook for now if you want. You can just look for MWC Podcast or Married with Comics and you can find us, or send us an email just at marriedwcomics@gmail.com. Also, every month we are over on the Longbox Crusade. Longboxcrusade.com is the best place where we do Transformers Chronicles. That is where Maggie and I cover the Marvel Transformers series in order with Pat and Delvin.
Hi, Delvin.
Again, thank you very, very much for coming on this episode with me. And all of you out there listening, thank you very much for supporting CheersCast by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. This show is patronized by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcasts to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
So you just left her in the closet?
Believe me, I did everything I could to get the guy out of the room for like 1 minute, but he wouldn't budge.
So you just left her in the closet?
There's nothing else I could do, okay?
So you just left her in the closet?
Carla, it wasn't my fault, all right?